like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, we've got some interesting stuff with the sports books, Angel. They're noticing something unusual heading into the first NFL weekend of the season. A college football game involving two unranked teams was the most popular bet on the board. More popular than anything in the NFL, Colorado and Nebraska had attracted more bets than every remaining NFL game in week one. They said it's a... According to bookmakers and sports books, they said this is a major rarity for a week one situation in the NFL. The bulk of the betting action, upwards of 90%, was on the favored Buffaloes. So how about that? At PointsBet and Fanatics, more money had been bet on Colorado minus the points against the Cornhuskers than had been bet on 30 NFL teams, with only the Chiefs and the Lions, who played last night, garnering more support from bettors. Dude, this is just, I know, bias aside, whatever, this is wild, dude. They've never seen anything like this. We are witnessing history, for better or worse here. What primetime has brought to Colorado, we have never seen anything like this. Overnight, essentially. Now, overnight nationally for some, but for us, we've been following this thing since he got hired, knowing it was going to be must-see TV, whether they won or they lost. But now, nationally, it is absolutely the talk of this country. And it's not just a college football thing. This is a sports thing. Are the Buffs the most popular sport or team in the country? I mean, right now, today, are they the most popular team in the country? Gotta be, right?
Yep.
Who's close? It's not the Lions. It's not the Chiefs. It's not the Golden State Warriors. It's not LeBron and the Lakers. It's not any baseball team going on right now. This is wild to me, man. And it gets crazier every single day. It's not the Cowboys either. Jerry Jones said it's not quite Super Bowl or bust, but we're wanting to be in a really good situation this year. Doesn't it feel like every year, though, Jerry Jones is kind of like, this is the year. It's Super Bowl or bust for us. He said, I feel strongly that we should aspire and frankly do anything at any time that can make us better right now to compete at that level. I think I'm saying a lot when I say that. This isn't about years in the future. The good news is you can make the decision that can help you right now first and foremost, but also be additive for the future. Those are the ones I'm looking for and trying to compromise on every single day. So saying it's not quite Super Bowl or bust, but it kind of feels like maybe it's close for the Cowboys. Cowboys, I think, should be pretty good. I do. Dan Campbell, more on that story. He was not stunned at all. He said this is where their expectations, and again, that's what they're going to say. He was asked what he learned about the Lions and about that game. He said, I didn't learn anything. I got verification on what I already knew, and this is a resilient team. It already was a resilient team, and we added pieces to that resilient team. So we're built to handle some stuff, and we did that today against a very good opponent. I love that. We're built to handle some stuff. That is a Dan Campbell quote right there. Did you get a chance to see what Joe Burrow's making now, Angel? He reached an agreement on a 5-year, $275 million extension with the team. It includes $219 million guaranteed, making him the highest paid player in NFL history. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter the contract averages $55 million per year. We're saying it all the time now. Highest paid quarterback in history, highest paid player in history. We say it every week. $55 million a year is what that's going to average out to. Joe Burrow, making bank. What do you got? What do you got over there? What are you searching up?
Breaking news out of college football.
Oh boy.
Washington State and Oregon State have taken the Pac-12 to court over board makeup, voting rights, and control of assets.
Wow.
They are suing the Pac-12 and George Kliavkoff for basically decision-making abilities.
What?
The only remaining members of the Pac-12 as of next summer, Washington State and Oregon State, filed a joint complaint Friday in Washington Superior Court that seeks to determine the makeup of the Pac-12 board of directors following the announced departures of 10 schools, according to documents.
That is insane.
The Pac-12 and Commissioner George Kliavkoff are named defendants.
Oh, my goodness. This is just absolutely wild. No question about it. That is, I mean, I knew it was bad. I knew all this was bad, but I didn't think it was that bad.
So if this goes through and they get the majority votes, Washington and Oregon State could declare themselves the Pac-12 champion contenders. And that would, the Pac-12 championship would be Washington State, Oregon State, and that would be it.
Next year?
This year.
What?
Because these schools have already said that they're leaving. So it's, hey, if you're leaving, you can't vote on stuff anymore. So Washington State and Oregon State want to take all the votes back, and they could theoretically just say, hey, Las Vegas, it's going to be us. That's it.
They can't do that.
They can do that.
What?
If this passes, yes. Because they would have...
They'd be the
boss.
They'd
have control over the Pac-12 and voting decisions.
This is how bad it's going. You just wondered how this college football realignment thing could get any worse, and this is it.
There's also a temporary restraining order put on the Pac-12 and Kliavkoff until the court determines which schools have voting rights.
What does that mean? Anybody that works for the Pac-12 that's not a team can't go to any games and do anything?
The restraining order is designed to maintain the status quo, i.e. no votes by the board until the court determines which school have voting rights.
My goodness.
They have requested a hearing for Monday, and a restraining order will be issued before the scheduled board meeting on Wednesday.
Can they win this thing? I don't think they can. You can't. Can you sue somebody for just not making a good decision?
So in the statement, this is Washington State's athletic director. The ten outgoing schools are, quote, now motivated to dissolve the Pac-12, against which their new conferences will otherwise compete beginning next year and distribute its assets. Additionally, the letter from Washington State and Oregon State to the conference sought confirmation about board meetings, the 10 departing schools relinquishing their voting rights, and the presidents of these two schools saying only duly authorized board members should have power.
That would mean that if you've moved out, even though this is your last year, you're out.
Like, you gave us a 2 weeks notice. You don't get to do anything anymore. That's it. And they're going to take this to court to get the power back to the Pac-12 and these two schools.
What is that? What, this is insane. I mean, again, we know George Kliavkoff is terrible. And he ended up being worse than what's-his-face, Larry Scott. But this is beyond now. This is beyond me.
So the CAA has a rule that any members who have publicly announced they're leaving are ineligible for conference tournaments and championships. If being able to gain voting rights, Oregon State and Wazoo could simply declare themselves the 2023 Pac-12 championship game participants.
Come on. You couldn't do that.
They got blindsided by Kliavkoff.
But they're taking
you to court.
Do you feel good about yourself if you get a banner?
No, you think they felt good about 10 schools leaving?
No, that's true. This is the ultimate.
You're leaving us out
revenge.
To dry, so we're going to take you to court.
Oh. Did Washington State and Oregon State just mic drop right there?
I think so.
If they win, I can't see it happening.
They got a case for it.
What is the case, though? Like, what is it? Is it it's
they
bad
are determining
decisions.
Who in the Pac-12 conference, as it stands, including the 10 schools that have decided to leave, they would therefore be relinquishing their voting rights and the school's voting rights in all matters revolving around the Pac-12.
Wow.
So if you're not in the conference, you can't vote on what the conference is going to do moving forward. Rules are rules, dude, man.
I hope they win.
I do, too.
Because it'd just be Oregon State. They just play at the end.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like
that. It would be a scheduled Pac-12 championship. Regardless of their records, they would both be there.
We live in a South Park episode right now. Like, we joked about, should Washington State and Oregon State just stay in the Pac-2? And they just play a bunch of non-conference schools and
gonna do it.
Play each other three times a year, and then they play for the championship.
If it's just two board members meeting every week. Hey, Todd, what do you think? You want to play this game? All right, let's play it. See you Saturday.
It's so bad that all of our jokes are starting to come true. You got teams all over the place playing in coastal conferences, and you've got the story that George Kliavkoff turned down. What did they turn down? They were offered 30?
30, and they wanted 50.
From ESPN, and some professor at Oregon or something was like,
we're worth way more than 30. We want 50. Go for 50.
So here's just a little more from the letter that they sent to Kliavkoff. The recent correspondence from the commissioner's office creates the misimpression that representatives of all conference members are eligible to serve on the board, participate in board meetings, and vote on matters. This is incorrect. Indeed, when UCLA and USC gave notice of their withdrawal from the conference in June of 22, the conference deemed their representatives ineligible to participate on the board or vote on any conference matters. The fact that eight more members have now given notice to their withdrawal from the conference does not change this rule.
Whoa.
They're not messing around.
Well, you know, if you think about it, they got screwed. More than anybody, all these other teams are making plans to go, and here's Washington State and Oregon State like, hey, everybody said they're sticking together on this, so we're kind of buying into that right now. And then they didn't make...
I mean, I'd take that statement from Kliavkoff to court. Say, this is what he said.
Yeah.
He said we were all sticking together, and then eight of them left.
Is it... Would you blame Oregon State and Washington State a little bit because they weren't active? Like, these other schools were clearly active and getting the hell out of there.
Can you blame them for not being active when they were told they're not doing anything?
They were loyal. They were trying to follow the rules.
The commissioner said, hey, we're sticking together.
And everybody said they were sticking together, too. Oh, boy. 18 minutes after the hour. Jacob Sermon. We're talking to the quarterback of the UNC Bears. Coming up next. Looking forward to that. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
No more gimmicks, no more jokes, just the games. Broncos games are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Those UNC Bears getting set to take on Incarnate Word tomorrow, home opener for the University of Northern Colorado. Who better to talk to us about those Bears than the quarterback? Jacob Sermon joining the show. We didn't get a chance. Normally we get Jacob on Mondays at 11, but it was Labor Day, crazy week, all that stuff. But Jacob, we do appreciate you taking a few minutes here, man, to catch up with us today.
Appreciate you having me on.
All right, man. So we're looking forward to this. A lot of people are excited about this this home opener against a darn good football team in Incarnate Word. They lost last week 28-14. So we know the Cardinals are still like that was it was a fairly close game back and forth, but UTEP gets that fourth quarter touchdown there to really put this one out. But for the most part, it was a decent game. So I know you guys are expecting a tough opponent who had a great season last year.
Yeah, you know, they have a lot of strength, and obviously they're going to continue to capitalize on that. And I think we have a solid game plan going forward to hopefully find a way to, you know, highlight some of their weaknesses and highlight some of our strengths as well.
Yeah, and again, without giving game plans and all that stuff up, just looking again that game, it was, you know, UTEP was able to run the ball on the Cardinals last week too. So, I mean, they pulled off a lot of big runs in that game. So I know with you guys being that kind of that balanced offense, and that's what you're looking to do, there might be a big opportunity on the ground too, which would then open up some opportunities for you downfield.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big theme of our offense is really taking what the defense gives us. And so we saw, you know, some running lanes and some quality running by UTEP last week on them. And so that'll definitely be something that's incorporate into the game plan and try to make as many explosive runs as we can.
Jacob Sermon joining us, quarterback for the UNC Bears. This segment, of course, brought to you by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. I mean, home opener, man, it's an exciting time. I know folks are getting, there's a buzz in the air. Football's back officially, but it feels even more official when you get that first game at home.
Oh, absolutely. You know, being around the fans, being around the community, home opener, obviously, there's always a lot of joy and you know, that kind of feeling of arrival, if you will, just, you know, how much work we've been able to do to practice here at home and finally be able to play a game here in front of our actual fans. It's a really big blessing.
Hey, we got a question coming in for you, Jacob, on our text line here. So here we go. For Jacob, Ed Lamb has talked this week about the lack of maybe a pregame energy. How can you use that, you as a quarterback, as the leader of this team, help set the tone early on in warmups?
It's a great question. You know, with every new team, there's obviously some kinks and learning curves that go along with the season. And being able to identify something like that early in the season has been huge. We have a leadership council on this team, and we've been able to talk about that, kind of how we would be able to correct that, how we can establish energy early on, what type of actions from leaders does that look like to help, you know, bring kids along that maybe not haven't played college football before, maybe haven't played at this level before. And so all these factors kind of grouped together. And if I was critical of myself, I could say I'm not a huge rah-rah pregame guy. I have a lot of confidence in my preparation and the film watching and the practice that I've been able to put up until that point. And so pregame for me has always been kind of cool, calm, and collected. And then once that first snap hits, then my juice, kind of my energy really explodes in the way I play. But if we're finding ourselves in a situation where, you know, there's guys on the team or there's a feeling of kind of like a lull early in the pregame, that's an area that myself and other leaders are able to, you know, step up into and find a way to kind of rally that juice.
Jacob, is that a difficult thing for you? Because we've heard this before. We've heard great players. There's a lot of great players out there that they're leaders for sure, but they're not, as you kind of said, you know, they're not that rah-rah guy. They're so focused and dialed in. Is that something where you have to be paying attention to a little bit more? Okay, I got to do some things maybe that I normally don't do, or does that change much for you?
I wouldn't say so. I think I am who I am as a player. My pregame song is Oceans by Hillsong United, which is not anything like a hype-up song you might expect, but it has a lot of memories and impact to me personally. And so that is who I am, and that doesn't change. But how I can help motivate and influence and help my teammates, I'm always able to adapt to that. So if people need more juice, I can supplement that without changing my own routine and my own kind of principles that I have followed throughout my career. And I think, you know, if you want to say you're a leader, the ability to inspire others and build change without affecting who you are and what you do is a big mark of that.
Jacob Sermon joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Jacob, I know you're busy, so just a couple of questions for you here. I know last week didn't go the way you guys wanted to. I think a lot of people realize too, Abilene Christian, that's a darn good football team. They might go on to have a very good season. But at the end of the game, you guys were driving down the field a little more. You connect with Alec Pell, and that's a connection we think is going to happen a lot throughout the course of the season. How important was that for you and as an offense to just get down the field and get a touchdown, and then of course that connection between you and Pell? How big was that drive for you guys?
That was huge. I think it answered a lot of unanswered questions amongst our team specifically of, you know, when you have an early game and especially with a talented opponent like Abilene Christian, it's a test, and you have to have confidence in knowing, okay, well, we have a good test here, but do we have the answers? And so putting that 16 play drive together and capping off with a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, I think it showed a lot of guys on the team we can do it. There's no question about our talent and our scheme. It comes down to execution and winning our one-on-one matchups, making good decisions, and kind of stringing a collective piece together, which we've shown we can do. Now it's just a consistency factor of How can we do that, and how can we do that while taking what the defense gives us?
Jacob, we know, again, going back to, as we wrap up here, going back to Incarnate Word, we know how good of a football team they were. They were one of those top teams at that FCS side of things. When you look at a team like that, I mean, is there a message with the group that's kind of like, hey, that's one of those teams we want to ultimately be like? We want to be competing. We want to be getting to those playoffs. And this is a heck of an opportunity to go right up against a team like that that's had a lot of success recently.
Absolutely. Anytime you're thinking about a team with a high level of success like that, regardless of who they return and who leaves, that's a cultural impact on that team. So they have an expectation of greatness, and they have a culture that says, listen, we are a top, 10, top 12, and it's 12 team in the country, and that's an expectation. And so I think it's important for any team to have an expectation of winning, and you can only do that by facing good opponents and giving it your best and having a belief that no matter who you're playing with on the field, that you can come away with a victory.
Home opener tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. We'll get our pregame coverage with Blake Olson and Matt Gaeter started at 1 o'clock. Get you guys ready for this game. Jacob, my friend, we just wish you the best of luck. Can't wait to see what you guys do here in our own backyard in Greeley. And we'll be rooting for you, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. 31 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
I want to thank Cable's Pub and Grill. We know every day happy hour is at 3 o'clock, 3 to 6. Tomorrow you got house margaritas, $4, so maybe you're planning on going watching college football somewhere. Maybe think about Cable's Pub and Grill. Their food is phenomenal. Absolutely love everything they're about. And you guys should try them out as well. Cable's Pub and Grill here in Greeley, where my friends meet. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Lot of crazy news, man. Anything else coming out of that, Angel? We've got Washington State and Oregon State try to take George Kliavkoff to the cleaners and control the Pac-12. Where ultimately they would, I guess they could be in their own conference championship.
Yeah, I think the bigger picture of this is that they just want control over the Pac-12 and what happens to the conference. Yes, 10 teams have left, but the conference itself still exists as the Pac-12, even though there's two teams. So they want voting rights. They want control. Is this a precursor to adding more teams? Because they would only have to say, you agree, cool, we got two votes, yes. That's all you would need.
This is wild, man. Those of you that missed it, Angel was scanning the interwebs and came across the story of Oregon State and Washington State filing a complaint against the Pac-12, and a legal complaint, that is. And George Kliavkoff on Friday. He's way worse than Larry Scott, man. Congratulations. We didn't think it could be any worse. But George, who's only been with him for a few years, dude. He hasn't been there that long. But long enough to turn down a deal from ESPN for $30 million per team per year.
Well, you talk about the tension in this situation. It's at the point where they won't even meet to discuss this. That they are filing court orders. From the Washington State's president here, Scholes, the Pac-12 conference and the board of directors cannot resolve this dispute through internal means. At its core, this is a dispute over who has the authority to act on behalf of the Pac-12 conference. Only judicial intervention can resolve this dispute.
This is a wild story, man. Exploring opportunities to sustain the Pac-12. I would love to see this happen. enjoyment.
It included a comment from one departing school, which was not named. Quote, one representative from a departing Pac-12 member stated his view just 2 days ago that, quote, 9 members can declare the fate of the conference at any time. So one of the departing schools on their way out is saying, no, I still can have a say in this. you can't. You've left. You've decided to leave.
Is this is Oregon State and Washington State fighting back?
It is.
This is two schools that are fed up with this and were completely left out. And now one could argue that, okay, well, you guys weren't aggressive. It's not their fault that they saw the writing on the wall and got the hell out of there. Like, do you blame teams for wanting to get out of the Pac-12 when you find out? Because I'm sure they knew what we know now. They knew it then that Kliavkoff and company turned down $30 million.
I don't know if it was a way for them to get away from the Pac-12. I think it's to get away from Kliavkoff.
Which
he is that bad of a leader that
oh
you
gosh.
Have 10 teams have left his conference because he is so bad.
What is the role of a commissioner for a conference?
To make sure this doesn't happen.
What else do you do? Like, that's, I'm just thinking about
this. You go to board meetings, and you go to conferences, and you talk to presidents and athletic directors, and you say, you guys are good, good. You guys are good, good.
And you make decisions.
Good. Yeah.
Like,
you appoint board members.
Oh, my goodness. It's just absolutely wild, man. This is, just take another turn.
The Pac-12 has not formally met since the latest wave of departures.
Well, yeah, they're
done.
And
that was back in August 4th. That was the last scheduled meeting. So they haven't met in almost 2 months now. And they're just like, we're done. I'll see you in court.
I cannot believe this story. Like, I just cannot believe it. Like, we could actually see a situation where Oregon State and Washington State just say, hey, we're in the national championship. That's part of it, because we run the show now this year. It's all ours. We got the Lonster on the First Advantage hotline. Lonster, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
You know what? It's a Football Friday coming up at 1, so we're doing pretty good.
You know, I'm doing good, too. Hey, on this Pac-12 thing that the Washington State and Arizona,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what they do anymore. I'm fed up with this whole thing.
Yeah, but don't you hope that Washington State and Oregon State just appoints themselves to play in their conference championship game? Like, this is a tabloid. This is a South Park episode. It's nuts.
You know what? I don't know what to think. This whole thing is just a complete disaster.
Yeah, it's a wild thing, man. Hey, what's more interesting to you this weekend, Buffs and Cornhuskers or Broncos Raiders?
You know what? This is a coin flip. I'm going to go with the CU and Nebraska game there.
Yeah, it's close, huh? I think it's close.
Yeah.
Closer than some people are saying.
It's too close. Yeah, it is, you know.
Yeah. Okay, what are your predictions? Broncos beating the Raiders?
Yes.
Buffalo's beating the Cornhuskers.
Oh, yeah. They're going to take the, go down goes Cornhuskers.
You going to smoke them?
No, I'm just going to go shuck them and maybe put them on the grill.
Speaking of grill, what's for lunch today, Lonster? Are you having some corn?
You know what, Lance? Oh, you know what I did? I had fish and chips, and I had corn to go with it.
Wow, okay. It makes sense for the weekend coming up. Well done by you.
It sure does. Yep, it was. It was delicious.
Lonster, have a great weekend, my friend.
Hey, you do the same. Thanks.
By the way, get your picks in. And keep track of your picks and your records. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I got my picks coming up in about an hour. So we'll look forward to that. We'll get into all things Broncos, Raiders, Colorado, Nebraska. I'm really intrigued by this game tomorrow. My mother-in-law has figured out a way to watch it. We have Fox 31, and she has Fox 31. Well, everybody has Fox 31, but on DirecTV. Still can't watch it, Angel. But she figured out a way. I don't know if it's like, huh?
What'd
I don't.
She do?
She's got Roku.
Ah.
And she figured out that you can watch it through Roku.
Interesting.
I don't know. This is her.
I've been hearing this a lot lately with people and on social media. Like, it's like, okay, I have my streaming service set up, but I don't know if it's going to work until I go to turn it on. And it's that, I hope I didn't pay $30 to not watch a game.
I mean,
it's all over the place. I don't know who has what, owns what TV network, or who can play what games on what network or streaming service. It's all over the place.
All I know is that DirecTV here in Colorado, you can't get Fox 31, which is what the Buffs played on last week and is what they're going to be on tomorrow morning.
And there's the charter networks that don't even have ESPN right now.
What is...
And that's like mostly the Southeast, so they're very upset down there.
We just can't watch TV like we used to.
Just want to watch football.
Just want to turn it on.
channel whatever.
With one remote. I don't want 15 different remotes and apps and passwords and, oh, mom, what's the password for this? I forgot it. Oh, I got to change it again. Hold on. And then you got to wait. And then, oh, it's halftime. Missed the game.
Yeah, if your internet's slow or whatever, your service is slow. I mean, there used to be a time where click, it's on. Bzz, just kind of.
Can we go back to rabbit ears, antennas, and tinfoil? And
we used to have.
That's like, that is my backup plan is.
Just go back.
It's just
old
an
school.
Antenna.
Oh, my, again, my mother-in-law, she's getting crafty over there. She's like, there's a way I can get an antenna and we can do it. I'm like, I don't even
get
know how that
Walmart,
works.
Like $20, plug it in the TV and get, you just point it at a satellite. That's, you can Google it, find out where your satellite is and point it at it. There you go.
I remember a time, Angel, we had, I think it was called Bird View, and it was the biggest, it looked, our satellite, our TV satellite was the size of our station satellite out there. It was that big. It was in our backyard. And it was always funny. You'd be jumping up, because I live in the country, so it wasn't an eyesore. We'd be jumping on the trampoline outside, and you could always tell when someone was inside watching TV, because they, if they'd changed the channel too far, the dish would start to move. It'd be like, it was hilarious. It's like, oh, dad's inside. Thought he was working today. He's inside watching stuff. Those were the days.
I'm looking at it here.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty sweet. Cool. I actually think it's still out at our farm. Like, they never removed it. It's just there. It's huge. It's as big as that thing out there. I mean, it was, those were the days, though. You just turn it on. You got the clicker. You got two buttons. One to change the channel up and down. And you got another one to turn the volume up and down. And you just get to channel whatever. Bam, we're watching football.
Nope. We got to make it more convenient by making it less convenient.
Yes. It's supposed to be more convenient, but it is. He said, Chris Brady, go get the antenna. Free channels, local, and other junk. Really?
Can you get backup plan.
Can you get altitude? I don't even know how that works. Triangulations?
I'm not sure. I know when I was at my mom's last Thanksgiving, I had to get a satellite or just a little antenna for her to watch Auburn or something. But yeah, we figured it out. You can Google, hey, where is my local TV antenna? And it'll tell you where it is, where to point your antenna, and then it'll give you a list of what channels you can pick up on that.
We're going to end up reverting back to what life was like in the 80s, I think. Like, we're going to be, like, it's going to be, we're going to all have antennas again, rabbit ears. AM radio, which we are on and absolutely love. You're seeing radio stuff, dude. Sirius, all that stuff, that's changing. It's harder to access in your car now. Hell, dude, I used to be able to put a CD in my car and just listen to the music. Now I get in my car, and I haven't started driving yet, and I'm going to Amazon Music, and I open the app, and it's like, you got to switch out of car mode. You're in car mode. Because you can't...
Is it Bluetooth or just...
Yeah, it's Bluetooth.
Through the car, okay.
But I'll do it through to open the app up on my phone, and then it's like, you're in car mode. You have to get out of car mode before you can select your music library. And then songs that I put on my Amazon Prime, Apple, is it Apple Music? I don't know, whatever it is. It used to be just, if they were free, you put them on your, but now it's like, oh, you can still listen to it, but it's randomized. So if you click the song you want, maybe you can listen to it, maybe you can't.
So you got a high-tech car. My car is not high-tech.
Do you have a CD player in your car?
I do.
I envy you.
I have a CD player. I have an aux port.
Oh.
But my phone is too fancy for my car because my phone doesn't have an aux port into it. So I can't just plug a regular cable into my car and listen to music right off the phone. I have to buy a Bluetooth adapter to transmit into a frequency.
Yeah. Isn't that stupid?
Dumb.
My mother-in-law's Audi.
Take the phone jack away.
Her Audi, she has an Audi, and the CD, she has a CD player. Guess where it is? In the glove compartment. What? Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
Why would it be there?
What, you can't put a CD.
That's not safe.
I guess they're encouraging you to put your CD in before you go, and then that's it.
Who does that?
Nobody does that.
No, it's you're driving 60 down the highway, pulling down the big binder of CDs.
Hey, pull that right in front of me. Oh, man. Creed came out with a new album.
My dad, he had, like, in his old truck, he had the one, two of them in the mirrors, and then he had a giant book of CDs.
Oh, yeah, me too. Like, I still have it.
How do you know what you're listening to?
I,
how do you know all these songs?
I have a giant book still. It's still at my house. It's huge. Everything, every page is full. It is absolutely wonderful. And I'd put them in, I was weird. I didn't put them in alphabetical order or anything like that. I put them in order of favorite bands, and then I'd put the selection of favorite bands in one page or two pages or three pages, and then I just know in my head who I like more, And then I would go, okay, Papa Roach, feeling that today. That's like a 10-tier band. So I know that it's like, yeah, it was a very terrible system. I'm lucky I'm alive, to be honest, because you pull out that big book and you just start flipping through it, pull out the CD, and then you commit it to the CD.
You don't do that anymore.
No, that's
if
what
you like. Really like an artist, you'll sit and listen to their albums, but now it's just, oh, I like this one, this one, this one, and that's it.
Yeah, and you would commit. You know, I new Metallica album just came out. I'm putting that in. Hands up on the wheel. Away we go. I'm going to listen to this entire album. Maybe if I like it a lot, I'll listen to it again. But now people are like, you get one song here, and then it randomizes to an... Oh, it's just back in my day, Angel. Those were MTV. Music television, music videos.
I knew what MTV was.
Well, there still is an MTV, isn't there?
I saw MTV before it was... Teen pregnancies.
That's all it is now.
I think so.
And reality shows.
Catfish.
When I was in, like, growing up, it was just music videos. That's all it was. It was great. Tanner says, back in my day. I'm like, well, of course. More people want to do what I'm telling you right now. You realize the error of your ways.
It's just, it was easier.
Yeah.
Because you could curate your own music library and just, boom, I know that song. It's on that album right there.
We could dedicate our time to a band rather than flipping back and forth and, oh, did I download this? I didn't download it yet. Now I got to take it forever to download it. It's not downloaded. You know how long it took me to transport my CDs, to transfer my CDs onto my iTunes? You know how long that took me? Forever. You don't want to know.
You can't just burn the CD into it. You got to download every song.
You got to, yeah. You put the CD, but look, my laptop doesn't even have a, nope. Can't even do that, man. Can't even do it. So you get that going, and then guess what? I can't do iTunes on my phone. Won't transfer over. Do you guys not know how to work Spotify or Apple Music?
I do.
Tanner says. I know how to work it, but I'm not like one of these teeny boppers that's like, oh, I feel like listening to this person for 5 seconds and then this person. I buy an album, and I let the album tell me the story. And Spotify's not all free, is it? All the songs on there are free?
If you pay for premium, you get...
Don't need to pay for
it's
it.
No ads, basically.
I'm tired of paying for freaking crap, man. I'm paying for Netflix and Amazon Prime and Apple and Hulu and Peacock and my DirecTV. I don't need to pay freaking subscription for music. If I like an album, every couple of months, I go buy one and I listen to it and I dedicate my time to it. I'm not in this society of every 5 seconds, I just need... moving on from this song. Tanner said you had to pay for CDs. Listen to what I just said. Every few months, I would buy a CD. I don't buy albums all the time. I dedicate my time to actually listening to a band that I like. It's called depth. It's not just listening to the latest and greatest for 5 seconds and then moving on. You kids today, man. 12:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Rocky Mountain Showdown returns on Saturday, September 16th. Primetime Buffs. The Rams Ford Air Raid. Join the discussion on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Maybe we do need robots, because society is screwed. Tanner Schwinn, case in point.
Oh, you... I don't know. You just... Dude, you are the... What are you? You're like the
I
third
like to
youngest...
take time.
You're the third youngest person here.
I like to take time.
And you are 99 years old.
I like to read books. How dare I take the time to read a book.
Yeah, watch a movie.
Or listen to a full album. Maybe 10 times before I retire it for a year.
There is no album that anybody has ever put out that one person's like, I love every single one of these
songs. You're listening
songs.
To the wrong kind of music then.
There's not any. Like, yes. Even the greatest artists and bands of all time had some stinkers.
Oh, no. Coach Eyes, Audioslave, every song on that album is amazing. Red Hot Chili Peppers' most recent album, so every song on that album is amazing.
I can't believe you're arguing that it used to be easier to listen to music.
It might be easier, but it's worse.
No, it's not.
We're overloaded with crap.
For $9.99 a month, I can listen to any artist in the world. And let's say there's
an album.
I'm
not spending $9.99
but
a month.
$9.99 a month is, it's nothing.
$10 a month for that, $10 a month for Netflix, $10 a month for Amazon.
No.
Now you're like $200. You're only going to listen and watch 2% of that crap.
You've got to find friends who own.
Well,
I'm wondering why.
Because all of you guys are idiots.
Holy my way.
All right, we'll take a quick break. You can stay in to start Football Friday. How about
that? Let's go to Prescott.
Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Let's go.
Crazy Carl's Pizza. Tanner, go scroll some Facebook ads. We'll be right back.